Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, Phoenix, tired of battling the mighty pollen? We've got your back. Aspire Allergy and Sinus offers lasting allergy relief so you can chuck those temporary fixes and savor that sweet, sweet taste of victory over pollen. With same-day results and tailor-made treatment plans, we've turned the tables on allergies. Aspire patients enjoy relief that lasts for years. Schedule your appointment today at AspireAllergy.com. Turn your daily sneeze-a-thon into a breeze with Aspire Allergy and Sinus. Go to AspireAllergy.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing today?
Howdy. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm out of my usual front room cave doing my podcast records because life is starting to return to normal. I think I've said that this three or four times in the last few records. Life is starting to return to normal, but the problem being is that it's meant that the front of the house is very loud, so I've moved to the back of the house and hoping that it's a little quieter, if not a little echoier.
So much adventure, so much excitement. You're
I know, right?
So much fun, aren't you? I'm gonna top you. You might have moved around your apartment from the front to the back, but I bet you don't have salted egg flavored potato chips.
I can hear that you are wafting around a packet of crisps. What is this? A salted egg?
Salted egg. I haven't even opened them yet. I saw
you
them the other
them
day.
On the podcast?
This is it. This is it, Pete. This is taste testing to the world. There we go.
Wow.
I've got just some Calbee crisps. Calbee, of course, Japan's biggest crisp manufacturer. They caught my eye just because salted egg is not a flavour I've ever seen
anyone
before.
Anyone wants. Ever yeah. Wants.
There we go. Oh. Initial smell. They smell just like ready salted crisps. And the taste is...
A bit of ASMR there for the listeners.
No, I don't like them. This is really disappointing. I had high hopes. I'm a very salty person, both metaphorically and literally. I love salt-flavoured foods. And they're kind of like... Imagine ready salted, just salt-flavoured crisps. Well, they removed the salt and replaced it with sugar, and that's what it tastes like.
Oh, right. So they've confused the word egg with sugar there. That's interesting.
Well, they've just confused everything, and I don't like them. That's really disappointing. That was going to be my dinner right here on the podcast right now. Salted egg crisps.
You shouldn't be eating salted egg crisps for your dinner. They're not sponsored by the unlovable character Gudetama, are they? Because obviously he's an egg man.
They've got... I don't know who it is. It's just a little chicken. Just a little chicken and a potato with the face of a chicken. It's all a bit
Enjoy my ovum. Is it ovum? What's egg? What's the egg? Is it ovum? I can't remember. Oh, amazing. Chris, could we talk briefly? I've received a couple of messages on Instagram and on Twitter as well about you being all over New Zealand's TV channels for some reason. Not only has the government of New Zealand pulled a solid and worked out some kind of plan for coronavirus that means there are no new infections and everyone's shaking hands and hugging and enjoying their lives down in New Zealand. They are being subjected to what can only be described as a Chris-based assault.
A Chris-based assault. Chris-based assault? Chris-based? No. Yeah, a few weeks ago there was a podcast. We talked, apparently I'd been on New Zealand television somewhere. The only thing better than coronavirus no longer being a thing in New Zealand is appearing on New Zealand TV, having me pop up, apparently. But we didn't know why, did we? But luckily, Kimberly, the girl who brought it up, has actually followed it up. She says, "Hello again, Chris and Pete. After listening to the most recent podcast, I can assure you that the reason you're on TV ad is not because it's Jake Gyllenhaal, but it's actually for your cat documentary, Cat Nation, and I thoroughly support the whole of New Zealand being advertised with your face and your work. Cheers for answering the question, Kimberly from New Zealand. So I don't know if you remember, 4 years ago, I did this documentary about cats in Japan. And
not really.
I presented it. And then, you know, we've got on about it for a few times, but it just keeps popping up in random places. Like, someone from Sweden messaged me last year, and they were like, oh, your documentary's on Swedish television. And then a few months after that, I think Poland, it came up in Poland, just pops up in random places. Even on Emirates, the airline, you could watch Cat Nation, this cat documentary, while you're flying to Dubai and back. So it's cool. I presented it like over I think it was about a week or two back in May 2016. Then I forgot about it. And then it just pops up every now and then. And now, 4 years later, it's doing the runs on New Zealand television. How awesome is that? But it is creepy. You never know where your face is going to appear.
No, exactly. Well, people seem sort of kind of willing to use any bit of YouTube. They think it's, you know, fair use. It doesn't kind of transcend boundaries.
This is an actual documentary I did. Did I not tell you about
this? Oh, right. You told me about, I think you mentioned it in the past, but I can't recall.
You weren't listening. You weren't listening.
I don't know why you would be wandering around doing a documentary about cats.
I'm not the ideal person, really. Basically, an Australian chap, filmmaker from Australia, came to Japan and wanted to make a documentary about Japan's kind of wacky, crazy cat culture, and figured that I would be good because I do YouTube. And I mean, I didn't think I was the best fit for it, but I went along with it, and I think it went well. I mean, I'm not really... I do like cats, but I have a mild allergy, so I was a bit like the whole time I'd stroke a cat, and then I'd like run out of shot and wash my hands. But we went to some pretty bizarre places, and then we wrapped up filming, and that was it. And then, yeah, 2 years later, it just pops up everywhere. I think he must have sold it to just TV stations across the world, so he's done a great job selling it. And who knows where it might pop up next. So,
come on. Like, who doesn't love Cats and Chris together at last? If only it was Cats, Crisp and Chris. Cats, Chris and Crisps. That's
Cats,
what I'd like.
Chris and salted egg flavoured crisps. Brilliant.
Yeah,
it's the perfect way to do anything. Oh, man. But I've been getting up early recently. I've been training
get
up early in the morning. What time do you get up in the morning?
Under lockdown, it's been a disgusting 9:30. But under normal kind of January, February, March circumstances, I've been trying to get up at around about 8 o'clock. Not always achieved it, but I've been trying to get up around about 8 or 9.
8 or 9. See, I get up. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I do get up at like 10:30 often.
Because you're up really late and you drink too much coffee.
I do drink a lot of coffee, but also my editing schedule goes into the night. You know, you just find as a YouTuber or filmmaker, or whatever, that you edit like early into the morning. But I'm currently working on a series that I've been wanting to do for years, but had to be put on hold earlier this year because of the bloody virus. I've got a few friends that are entrepreneurs and business owners, and I want to do a series like what it's like to own an XYZ in Japan. Like I did one last year on the Love Hotel with the monkey guy doing monkey bars. Sounded like he was having sex or something. I want to go, I kind of want to do that, but with various things. And the first one I'm working on, I've got two. First one is what it's like to own a sushi restaurant. The next one is what it's like to own a Wagyu restaurant. I know both the owners, they're kind of friends, and we're going to spend some time with each one. But the first one, the sushi restaurant, because we've got to go to the fish market, I've got to get up at 5 a.m., Pete. 5 a.m.
Get those white wellies that every... I visited a fish market once when I was working on a breakfast show back in the day on XFM. Every Friday we'd have a guy on, and Roger Barton his name was, and he would review fish. He would talk about fish every single Friday, Fish Fridays, and he'd tell you which fish to have. And half of the stuff he said was absolute nonsense. He was frequently in trouble financially because he would sell crab meat out of date and the people would come down like a ton of bricks on him down at Billingsgate Fish Market. And we got up for one of the final outside broadcasts we did under the breakfast show thing. We went down to Billingsgate, and that was really early in the morning. I mean, I was on a breakfast show anyway, but I had to get up even earlier to make sure that Billingsgate Fish Market was ready for us. But you think, like, you kind of forget that, like, Billingsgate has been there for such a long time down the Thames, and it's not that far out of central London. That you would get, like, because obviously they throw the fish heads back into the sea, into the water. You would get seals coming up and kind of like, and this is like only, I mean, where's Billingsgate? It's not miles out, it's near Canary Wharf. Yeah, and you'd get kind of seals coming up and grabbing the fish heads and chomping on them. So, like, it was a really, really interesting day, but it did start at around about 4 o'clock, which was unwelcome at the best of times.
4 o'clock. Oh, my God.
Horrible. Horrible.
I think 5 o'clock's bad. What time we had to get up for the when we went fishing off the coast of Miyagi? We got up at like 4 a.m. didn't we?
We'd had no sleep, but the excitement of being out on the sea. I mean, I think you fared a little worse than I did, but with our morning sea legs, because you drink too much coffee, that's why. I've decided it rolls the stomach. We had to get up pretty early, but we'd only had like 2 hours sleep. But we managed to muscle through.
We did.
Ryotaro was obviously full of the joys of spring, as he always is.
Ryotaro. I mean, Japanese people are just magic. Japanese people just don't need sleep. I mean, they do, but they also don't. Like, I remember I'd go out drinking with my teachers, and often we go drinking till 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and then sometimes there'd be school or work the next day, and they'd just come in and they'd look normal, whereas I'd be like just dead, just lying on my desk in a puddle of despair. Coffee cans laying around me.
Stinking
of boots. A terrible example of a teacher. I've been training basically by getting up at incrementally earlier times. This morning I got up at 7:30 a.m. Tomorrow it's going to be 6 a.m. And then eventually 2 days after that on Thursday it's going to be 5 a.m.
Love it.
Can I do it?
Absolute jet lag behaviour.
I know, right? But that aside, it's been a good week. I've been studying Japanese. I think I mentioned last week I've been ramping up my Japanese studies just because I like studying and I haven't done it for years. I've always had an all or nothing mentality. I'm either all in or not in. And I've decided to go half in and just find a little bit of time each day to study. And I've found the greatest way to study Japanese it could possibly ever be. And I think you might know what it is. And that is... There's a Japanese, basically this week, Hamako Mori received a Guinness World Record for being the oldest video game YouTube channel in the world. She's a 90-year-old Japanese woman who plays video games on YouTube to her 300,000 subscribers. And I watched some of her videos and they're really quite good. There's something quite bizarre and hypnotic about watching a 90-year-old woman shoot zombies in Resident Evil. Mm. Have you checked out Hamako Mori? Have you seen this just amazing?
I have. Well, obviously, the piece that you forwarded over was from The Guardian. I think she's been on the BBC as well. She's created quite the splash. And you know, I guess we're getting in that generation where, people will be playing video games into their dotage, so to speak, into their twilight years. And I think it's a slightly, I always sort of find myself this, I sort of go, it's slightly disrespectful to both gamers, gaming, and also old people as well, that they wouldn't flirt with a bit of videos. But it's lovely to see, as a video game fan myself, it's lovely to see that someone who cares about something and loves something continues to do it into their old age. Because I'm of a generation where we watch our parents kind of, slide into a rather comfortable existence, and anything that they like. My mum does nothing. Like, she, bless her. Like, she was a talented painter. She was this charismatic woman, and as she seems to get older, she's become this kind of housebound, kind of doesn't want to really do anything, kind of person. And I speak with a lot of my friends, and a lot of my friends have similar sort of situations where our parents become comfortable and they don't start anything new. They don't find anything new to do. So, I mean, as I think you're going to explain, this is a lifelong love of video games for her for some 30 years or so. But it would be amazing if my mam at 70 odds got. No, she's 60. Yeah, she might be under 70, actually. Yeah, she's under 70. Terrible to not know that, isn't it? I know. It's like 70. That sounds a bit hot. Like I've overcooked this grenade that I'm going to get in trouble for. Yeah, it would be nice to sort of see my mum like get into video games. I'd love it to sort of get involved in like a bit of Animal Crossing or something, just to sort of ease her in and have something to do that's not just watching television, that's not just worrying about, you know, whether I'm catching COVID or I'm up to date with my asthma medication or worry. Like some days she'll just stay in all day waiting for the postman. And it's like,
last time she spent playing Grand Theft Auto or Skyrim.
I think so. Get involved in Hyrule or I don't know, yeah, Liberty City. Smashing people up in Liberty City. I'd like it to sort of be more like Hamakomori, the gamer grandma.
I remember I spent like 3 days trying to get my gran to switch on the iPad and she'd just forget every day. And I was just like, okay, let's just not use the iPad. Just forget the iPad. Don't do that. But yeah, I mean, Hamakomori had an early start. It wasn't the case that she kind of picked it up while she was already elderly. She picked it up in 1981. She got a cassette vision, her first games console. Ooh. I don't even know what that is, P. What's a cassette vision? Do you know?
It's probably one of those kind of like really unlovable pre-Atari video game breakdown things. I'm good. I'll give it a Google cassette vision. See what it looks like.
I will talk about her story. So basically, yeah, from the 80s, she picked up the old cassette vision, and she'd been playing ever since the last kind of 40 years. And her favourite games apparently are the aforementioned Grand Theft Auto and Skyrim. Her reasons for enjoying gaming: she says you can do whatever you want to in a game, describing them as a motivation in life. She used to swim until the age of 80, and then she kind of had to stop doing that. But she plays every day for 3 hours and streams it on YouTube for the world to see. She's got a pretty loyal following. Like, it's not a channel that people subscribe to and forget. It's a channel that people actually do watch. And I can see why. Like, I remember the first video I watched of her, she was walking through like an abandoned building on Resident Evil 3. Which is so scary that not even I can play that. Get scared on Resident Evil. And she picks up an assault rifle and she says, like, ah, kore wa assaulto rifle down there. It's an assault rifle. And she's like, the zombie comes out and she just casually throws a grenade at it and it blows up. And she does it with such skill and precision. Like, that's the thing. She's really good at it. It's not right. Like, she's actually better than most people, most normal people. And that's what makes her so special. Just like normal gamers, right? The casual gamer. She's way better than I am, which is incredible. And she's apparently eagerly awaiting the release of the PlayStation 5 due to hit shops later this year. But she also says it's safer to play at home rather than going out as well. Obviously, in her old kind of fragile age, going out can be a bit daunting. And she just finds solace and escape in video games.
I like the fact that she's on the PlayStation 5. This is obviously coming out later this year. Her quote was, "It's seriously preoccupying me," she said. "I want one. I really do." I mean, Sony has to be number one on delivery. Like, she has to be number one on, it's a PR goal. It's a PR, it's a spot kick. It's a penalty. It's a tap in. Just get that woman the first PlayStation 5. It's going to be in the shop. It's just so easy. Get her one now. Presumably they're already building them.
That would be the greatest PR stunt ever, though. Having Hamakomori, like, and a advertising campaign, like, playing away. Like, that'd be so cool. way more kind of unconventional, memorable than just a normal gamer. But no, really cool story. Really quite made my day reading that. And it's quite nice because, obviously, a few weeks ago we talked about how Kagawa Prefecture is implementing rules where kids can only play for an hour on weekdays, 90 minutes on weekends, which is a bit depressing. Like, kids playing video games, having a limit on that, is a little bit authoritarian, a little bit scary. Feels like the local government of Kagawa is overstepping the mark a bit. And obviously, as we mentioned, I think last week or the week before, the people of Kagawa are fighting back against that, and rightly so, because that is a bit ridiculous. So Hamakomori needs to be sent down to Kagawa Prefecture to educate the lawmakers on what not to do. for sure.
That's I really like the I really like how lovely her hair is. Like she's got her hair kind of like it's tied back. She looks like a librarian, but she's blasting zombies in the face. She's the best grandma.
She's very nice and polite. She like bows. If you look at her in video, she's very nice and friendly and calm and polite. And then she picks up that controller and she blows people's heads off like no tomorrow.
Nice.
It's such a brilliant contrast of character. I love it. Just go and film her.
Very enjoyable.
Put her on the YouTube channel. Get her on Abroad in Japan.
Yeah, damn right.
Damn right. Next stop, New Zealand television. That's what I'm saying. I'm not. But yeah, fair play to her. Awesome. Check her out. Her YouTube channel is called... what is her YouTube channel called? Didn't actually write that down. Is it just Gamer Grandma?
Yeah, right. I think you just Google Gamer Grandma. She'll come up because she's everywhere at the moment.
I'll look it up. It is, Gamer Grandma. It's in English as well. And you can see her in the corner of the screen sitting happily at her computer desk as she blows people up. Wonderful stuff.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? zero, one, or two. The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do, ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
And now we turn our attention, ladies and gentlemen, to the fax machine, to your questions and stories. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got one from Evan from Missouri, which is a lovely part of the world. Stop eating your crisps, you filth bag. Chris and Bates, I've loved hearing the stories about people met with generosity and kindness while in Japan, so I thought I'd share one of my own. In Nagano, on a weekend trip, my friends and I found a bar. The kind of bar was just down some stairs and had a very small wooden sign in English, but no other indications. It was very classy, and we felt a bit out of place, so we were only going to stay for one drink. That is the problem with some Japanese bars, I find. The lighting is very subdued. The conversation is very quiet and understated, and they serve really fancy drinks, and you feel, you know, you get given your towel, and you feel very sort of like, I shouldn't be in here. This is too nice for me. Towel. What do you reckon, Chris?
I do like
it's
it.
So nice.
I quite like the escape. They always have jazz music on in the background, don't they? You go in, you have your whiskey, you listen to the jazz music quietly. They're not the greatest social places, though.
No.
Which is why this story gets a whole lot better.
A tired-looking Japanese man at the bar asked us where we were from and asked if we'd ever tried the good Japanese grapes. He then proceeded to order some of them for us to try for no less than 8,500 yen for a twig with fruit on it. It was no doubt the best grape I'd ever had, but my wallet wept at the price tag. How much was it? $60? $70?
It's about $80 or about
$60
for Jiminy Cricket.
So my wallet swept at the price tag. He then picked up the tab and told us to have fun in Japan. That's nice. Free, really expensive grapes. Have either of you tried the good Japanese grapes? Japan is a lovely country with wonderful people. Thank you for sharing that side of Japan.
Brilliant.
Enjoyable.
I don't know if I've had the good grapes on that level, like $80 grapes. They're typically given just as a gift, aren't they? They're kind of given as omiyage to people you traveling to see, or friends and family for birthdays. I have had some grapes that were only merely $40, about 4,000 yen, and they were good. They're very perfectly round. They're very big. You bite into it, it kind of explodes in the sea of grape juice, and they're rather good. And then obviously watermelons, lots of watermelons in Japan. That the most expensive watermelon was like $200, like Nihonen. We filmed strawberries, didn't we, for a documentary back in February where the strawberries were like $50. So Japan has a big history of expensive fruit. And I am sad that I've never had the good Japanese grapes. Have you? I love the way that's what you branded them as, the good Japanese grapes.
It sounds like something naughty. Have you tried the forbidden grapes?
No, I've had the good grapes.
It's a bit biblical, isn't it?
Have you ever had any kind of, like, juicy Japanese
fruit? Kofu. And I think I've mentioned that place before a few times because the football team that I like is there. And I, on the way back, bought what I thought was some grapes. And they look really expensive. And then I bought the grapes and they were like, all right, a tenner. And I was like, okay, we're fine.
Reasonable.
And then I got on the train and I realized that they weren't grapes because the top of every grape had this little metal kind of seal on it. And I was like, what the hell is that? It was actually just a load of basically condoms filled with fruit jam sort of thing. So, I spent the rest of the trip, the two-hour train journey back to Tokyo, just eating jelly, effectively. Eating jam.
In condoms. Brilliant.
it was a little much.
They're really big on jelly here. Like every supermarket, the grocery section, you've got the fruit, and then like nestled either above or next to the fruit, you've got these big, like, loads of jelly everywhere. They love it. Absolutely love it. Maybe because...
Bring on the jelly.
Maybe elderly people can eat jelly because it's good for your mouth. I don't know.
Great for your gaming life.
Yeah. Hanakamori loves it. I got one from Justin. He says, hi, Chris and Pete. I've been a huge fan of your YouTube channel for years. I can't get enough of the sarcastic British humour, Chris. I was wondering if you've ever thought of doing a series comparing the similarities or differences between stores in Japan and England. For instance, Pete could be checking out the menu in KFC in London, and Chris could be doing the same in a KFC in Tokyo. I've always been interested in the quirky items that Japan has that UK stores do not. Thanks for keeping me entertained all these years. Justin from Derby in England. I mean, Japan KFC's actually a little bit shit. I find it's never that satisfying. It's quite expensive. It's like twice the price of UK KFC. They're missing key items like gravy. KFC without gravy, it's a sin. And I just, the only time it's good is at Christmas when you get the KFC Christmas menu, which costs almost as much as the good grapes. It costs about 8,000 yen on $80. So, no, I've never really been a fan. I kind of avoid KFC in Japan. But we could do it. What do you reckon? KFC in Japan, have you done it?
KFC in Japan. Yes, I have. I was sort of hankering for spicy wings. Look, kids, it's a gateway drug to a big fat belly. If I got to about 25 and I'd never had a KFC, and I indulged in spicy wings and never looked back. And my body composition has changed completely from skinny little boy to skinny little boy with a bit of a belly. So I look like a little frog boy. So all I'm saying is, kids, don't indulge in the forbidden naughty fruit that is KFC.
We could do a one-off, though.
Yeah.
Japan, the KFC in Japan, some branches do have all you can eat, which is formidable and dangerous to your diet. If KFC is your gateway drug, the KFC all you can eat menu is just the end of that gateway, because there ain't no way you're coming out of that restaurant alive after all that chicken shoved down your mouth. I've thought about going and taking Natsuki and doing like a challenge video, given people seem to love
big
that.
Pile. Lovely, yes. So,
could be the end of Natsuki.
The one in, if you've ever been to Kentish Town, London denizens, I heartily recommend the place Sam's Chicken, which used to do 10, maybe 12 spicy wings and 2 servings of fries for like £3. It was incredible. And again, it's nowhere to live. Nowhere to live your life. You will die.
Now I feel hungry. The salted egg flavoured crisps just aren't doing it for me. I need some real chicken.
Not good. Not good.
We've got an email from Callum.
Oh, sorry, mate.
No, you do it. I'm going to eat some crisps.
All right, mate. Callum, hi, Chris and Coolish Man. Stop ruining my email. Hi, Chris and Coolish Man. I was on the Abroad Japan website binge-watching the content on learning Japanese, and in the video speaking Japanese in fluently in 6 months. Chris, you said to think of speaking Japanese all the time. Does that mean you actually think and speak in Japanese all the time? And it made me wonder, do you think in Japanese? A little bit of a confusing email, Callum, but I'll try and decipher it. It's good to think and speak in Japanese all the time. Do you think and speak in Japanese? Is it more frequently that you think in Japanese than you do English, Chris? Callum wants to know, and I would also like to know.
I do think in Japanese. I've had quite a few dreams as well. I'm talking in Japanese, which is quite a surreal experience.
That's cool.
It is cool, isn't it? It took me a year to have my first Japanese dream. And it was really boring. It was like, Neko suki desu. I like cats. I'm hungry. Haraheta desu. Like, it was really boring. But it was a dream in Japanese nonetheless.
Well, I dreamt that I was in a swimming pool with, and there was 2 Japanese children speaking in Japanese, and I tested my arm, so to speak, with, that sounded bad. I basically just started doing all of the rudimentary, tourist Japanese that I knew to try and impress them. And then their father came over and said, they don't know what you're saying. And I was like, cool. Cool. What a cool dream. Brilliant. I'm glad that my psyche hates me.
Oh dear. I mean, my friend who speaks Japanese to a native speaker level, and he's been here, I think, 10 years, he told me, the greatest advice he told me was just think in Japanese when you're walking down the street. You know, don't look at every object around you and every sentence you want to create in English. Just think, how would you say that in Japanese? And that's what I've been doing recently. And it's been quite effective because I'll look at something and go, oh, how do you say that? And then I won't know. So I'll look up some words in the dictionary. I'll learn something new and then off I go. So it's good to think in Japanese. It's good to be proactive. I think it's the only way you can truly, you know, pick up a language quickly. Because if I don't get to talk to that many people throughout the day, given all the things I'm doing. So I don't get to test out my Japanese as much. So just by trying to think in Japanese, you can, you know, think a lot more than you speak out loud. So it just really accelerates your fluency, I think. So, yeah, good tip and a good question, Callum. Thank you very much. We've got one from Chris. Well, that's a good name. Hey, Chris and Pete. Hope you're both doing well and are staying safe and healthy. With your experiences of Japan and its culture, I was wondering what major differences you both saw between the lives of families and raising children in Japan and back in the UK. If you were to compare them, would you prefer to raise a family in Japan or the UK? Or what do you think Japan does well for its youth that the UK could learn from? From what I've seen, and after growing up in both the UK and Asia, I get the impression that I'd rather have a child who grows up in the Japanese system rather than the British system. But I wonder if there are certain allusions to this. All the best, Chris. That's a good question. Any thoughts on that, Pete?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Japanese system you would probably characterize as being one that doesn't exactly celebrate the individual and very focused on testing and stuff like that. But I guess the British system is also kind of getting into that category with the testing, if not. I think you are more likely to be left behind in both systems. You're quite likely to get left behind in both systems because, you know, think things sometimes a little bit difficult, but I don't know, man. I'm glad I don't have to make decisions about someone else's life and someone I care about a lot. I just have to look after my own shit, and that's hard enough most days.
Well, my thoughts on that. I mean, obviously, I did work in the school for 3 years, and I'm quite well acquainted with the Japanese education system, and I do find it crushes individuality and creativity. And I just, even though I don't intend to have kids, I don't think I would put them through the Japanese state school system. If I did ever have kids in Japan, which I won't, I would put them through international school where you get the best of both worlds. You know, you're living in Japan, but you're kind of using English a lot more in classes. So you can be brought up fluently, basically. But no, I just find, I just don't like the way Japan prepares students for Japan really well. Right. Once you go through the Japanese education system, you are a model citizen. You know all the rules, you know how to behave, you're very good at etiquette, well-behaved typically. But take a Japanese student out of Japan and I think they'll find the world a very difficult place because things aren't quite as utopian as Japan when it comes to crime and safety and everything like that. And I just think the UK prepares you for the world. Like, you know, in the UK we're good at traveling around the world and moving to different places and adapting. And I think that's because the education system does foster individuality a bit more and creativity a bit more. But that's a good topic, a big topic for another day. And I'm sure lots of people have opinions on that, but that's just my thoughts. But the fundamental thing you need to take away from this is I'm not having kids, so I don't need to worry about that. got one from Sam. It says, Dear Chris and Pete, I'm Sam from London. Wow, you've been to London, Pete. It's good, isn't it? I've got a quick question. Following on from Elizabeth's question last week on names. Oh, that's right. Elizabeth. Another Elizabeth last week sent a question. She's coming to Japan to teach. Didn't know what to call herself, whether she should call herself Beth or Elizabeth. And we said Beth because that's the nickname she chose for herself. And Elizabeth is a bit long. Same way I don't call myself Christopher in Japan. It's Kurisu. I'll be looking to do the JET program next year, the Japan Exchange Teaching Program, but I don't know how I would introduce myself to students. Chris, as an ALT, did you ever introduce yourself as senpai, sensei, or just Chris-san? Keep up the good work and look forward to more in the future. Sam from Leighton. Have you ever referred to yourself as senpai, Pete? Do you know what senpai is?
Well, I guess it's teacher, but I remember that guy who was like, I think he was in the queue for some kind of Comic-Con sort of thing, and a TV station interviewed him, and he noticed me senpai guy. Notice me senpai. So it's mysterious kind of chinby and goth kind of chap who does these kind of like long speeches. He's become this kind of like internet meme. So every time I hear the word senpai, I always think of, notice me senpai, man.
Brilliant. I mean, that, yeah, it's everywhere. My friend Joey, the anime man, he uses that a lot. It's part of anime culture, the overuse of senpai. Senpai, kohai. Senpai just means elder. Kohai means junior, basically. Just as you're technically my senpai because you're older than me and therefore wiser.
But yes,
that remains to be seen. Finally, doesn't it?
Finally. Well, Chris, I will say I've not started my day by eating a load of egg crisps, and you are very much finishing. You're putting the full stop on your day by drinking, no doubt, a lot of coffee, canned coffee, and eating egg crisps. So, well, I think I should bring you into the light and give you the wisdom of my loins, so to speak.
Bring
my brain loins.
Brilliant. Well, I'm not going to finish these. I've only had a few crisps. I mean, I've had like three crisps in the last half an hour.
They don't sound great.
And I won't be finishing them. And to answer Sam's question, I just refer to myself as Chris. You don't really call yourself senpai or sensei. Like, you wouldn't say, I'm Chris sensei, because it's a little bit obnoxious, right? You're basically saying, I'm the master, I'm brilliant. So you just say, like, yeah, I'm Chris of this. That's it. The Peach Sensei. Other people can refer to you as a senpai, a sensei, or san, but to yourself, it has to just be Chris or your name, you know. But I might refer to you as Peach Sensei from now on.
Yes, please. Confirmed Nihonophile and sensei, general sensei man.
Perfect.
I like it.
The title.
Perfect.
You so sorely deserve. Keep the comments, questions, stories coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, stay safe, take care, and we'll be back next Wednesday to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Have a good one.
Stop eating those crisps.
I'm hungry.
Filth.
A Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.